gracious Father, we love you so much, oh God. And we're not here, Lord, to put in our time or to make a show, but Father, we've come to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, we know that it is you that came down in the sound of the shout. You have somehow transcended, Lord, oh God, from your seventh dimension down to the three dimensions in which we live in, and yet you brought us into the heavenlies, back into your dimension, oh God, your presence. So, Father, we just pray that we would be a thankful people, oh God, and as your scripture says, that our joy comes from being in the presence of the Lord, and truly it does. May your words be upon our lips every day, every thought, Lord, that we think may be about you. May we be ready, oh God, and mature adults, mature Christians, oh God, when you call for us for that next portion of the shout which moves into the voice, the time of the resurrection ministry. And we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'd just like to say before we go, to move on, I haven't kept track for about 7-8 years of the people visiting the website, and I had no idea, but apparently we had to move to a different site this past year because the company had sold it, and so we had a migration, and we had some downtime as a result, but we're back up and running, and in the first 20 days of this month, we've had 3,857 visitors. That's about 200 visitors a day, and 73,260 hits, which is about, it's getting close to about 4,000 hits a day. So that's pages downloaded, about 400 pages downloaded each day. So, the Lord is really doing things out there. I mean, there's all kinds of countries. I can look down the list to see, and believe it or not, but the second most hits we're getting is from the Russian Federation, and about 8,000 hits in the month. So, and the U.S. is number one, of course, and then some of the other countries around. But that's interesting, and we're even getting China. So I'm glad to see that, and we'll just have to see what happens from there. But this Wednesday evening, we spoke on the frequency of God, showing, as Brother Brown used the term, Brother Brown only used the term frequency one time, but he used the term vibrations hundreds of times. And so we spoke from paragraph 69 through 72, where he was comparing when God came down to visit the Israelites in the wilderness with Moses in comparison to now, when God has come down with a shout in the cruising presence of the South. And he said, but Brother Brown said in paragraph 69, but this is spirit that comes upon the promised word for this age and brings forth and manifests not to tables of stone, but the presence of the living God. Not a mythical thought that somebody made up or some Houdini trick, but the very promise of God revealed and made manifest right before us. What sort of a veil will that be behind? And who's that? And so we're not talking about, some mysticism or some kind of theories or, some type of I'll get to that. We're not talking about those kind of things. What we're talking about is actually the actuality of God's presence among us. And the way that God has established all of life, life actually has frequency. Every living being has frequency. In fact, even rocks have frequencies. So God has established everything to vibrate at a certain point. I think it's like 7.6 or 7.8 is the Earth frequency. And, Don knows the things like that because he's kind of wired his bed so that it'll be as if he's sleeping on the ground. And those are good for your relaxation and stuff like that. But we're not talking about so much the physical today. I want to talk about the spiritual because that's what we're concerned about. Then Brother Bragg goes on to show how that the people saw God come down from his dimension to their dimension where they lived in and the effect that it had upon them. That paragraph 72, he says, see, that was so great, so even the people said, they said, when they seen Jehovah come down in this pillar of fire and began to shake the earth. Now remember, shaking is a vibration, right? It's something happening. And in fact, Tesla actually had a little box, no bigger than this thing here, but about square. And he had a little box, and this is 100 and some years ago. He went to a site where they're building tall building in New York. And back in those days, you couldn't go more than six stories, all right, because they didn't have elevators. Then Otis came along and he developed the elevator, and they're able to make skyscrapers. But so they were building this tall building, and he came with a little box, and he just turned the thing on, and the whole building began to vibrate. And they thought they were going through an earthquake, and then they found out it was him. They chased him away. But the thing is, low frequencies, very low frequencies, are very destructive. They're destructive to your health. They're destructive to they can cause earthquakes. They can do everything. High frequencies, the higher the frequency, the closer up you're getting toward God. And Brother Branham talks about this, and we're going to explain it in a little bit. So this sermon, which began by just a thought back here when I read where Brother Branham said that the voice that's been recorded goes around and around and around the earth. And he said every action you make, every time you move your finger, all these things that you do, it's being recorded. And he said we can prove it. He said television is just a crystal that brings it into the dimension that you're in, but it's actually in the fourth dimension. And what's interesting is that fourth dimension, people watch that fourth dimension and they become conformed to the image of what they see on television. All you got to do is look it up. Sister Patty, see, you're in my category for age, and Don, Sydney, and so and Michael. So you know that what has happened in the last 40 years is just traumatic. I mean, who would have thought you'd see people with, just looking like lizards, you know, with tattoos up and down and hair that, it's just so ungodly, it's just so evil looking. And yet, back in our day, when we were raising raising kids, that stuff didn't exist. That's only 30 years ago. That stuff didn't exist, but today it's just so pitiful. It's so scary to think that people would be raising children up in an atmosphere like that. And that's not just in this country. That's all around the world. It's bizarre. And so we're looking then at these things coming on the earth. And so Brother Brown says, God came down with pillar of fire. He said that that was so great till even the people said, they said, when they seen Jehovah come down in that pillar of fire and begin to shake the earth, and the things that he done, and the mountains on fire, and even if anybody tried to go to that mountain, they perished. It was so great till even Moses feared the quake. Then if that time he shook just the mountain, this time he'll shake heavens and the earth. What about this glory? You see, we've shown so many times that the word glory in the Greek is the word doxa, D-O-X-A. And it simply means the opinions, the values, and the judgments of God. So when Jesus prayed, he said, Father, my prayer is that you would give them the same glory that you gave me, that they might be one with you as I am one with you, in the same way. That's John chapter 17, verse around 20, 22. So it's that glory, there's something wonderful about that glory that transforms our image. Einstein said, if two objects were traveling at the speed of light, they would pass through each other. Now, how is that possible? Because of the vibration, the frequency that they're traveling at, they would just simply pass right through. That's how Jesus could walk through a wall, living in a higher dimension, and all those kind of things. We don't understand scientifically. Einstein just took a stab at it. But this is the facts that God has set up his universe. He set up his universe for these things. And we're part of that universe. So that involves us. All right, so he says, Moses shook. I mean, he feared that earthquake, all right? But he said, how much greater will this glory be? If that was veiled with a natural veil, that was Moses, this is veiled by a spiritual veil. You see, this is the problem. People are still looking at a natural veil, William Branham the man. They're not looking at the spiritual veil. God himself, in the form of the pillar of fire, came down. Pillar of fire is a spiritual veil, all right? So don't try to look at the natural. Break into the spiritual and see where you're at. See what hour that we're living in. Now, Brother Brandon, many times you say, you know who I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for him. Oh, he said, there it is. There's that light. He said, now that light is moving around the room, all right? We're going to talk about some of those things because he talks about that vibration of God. All right. Now notice when God transcended from his dimension to the three dimensions that man lives in, and the glory of seeing that was so great that Moses had to place a veil over his face because of the radiance of that glory reflecting off of his face for having sat in God's presence for those 40 days. And Brother Branham points out how that the Apostle Paul tells us much more will be the glory upon us When God just doesn't transcend to our dimension, but when we go into His presence, where He dwells, where those invisible spiritual recorded words live and dwell. Then He showed how, from His sermon, there's a man that can turn on the light. And of course, what is light? Light's vibration. Light's frequency. It's vibration. All right? There's nothing can give you life, he says, but the spoken word of God. Life only comes by light. Nothing can bring you into manifestation but the spoken word of God. That's what he says. From the Amplified Translation of 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, he says, "For now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, a blurred reflection of reality as in a riddle or an enigma. But then, when perfection comes, we shall see in the reality, and we shall see face to face. Now we know in part, which is imperfectly, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God Himself." So when God comes down and reveals the secrets of the heart, He's letting us know in 1 Corinthians 13:12, when that happens, when that which is perfect has come, and you knew that Brother Branham could look into the secrets of the person's heart, and he couldn't do it on his own. Well, you say he had a gift. Listen, the gift was God. Because God is the gift. And that gift, which is God, which is the Messiah, and so he allowed a prophet to reflect that. You would just tell the prophet what to say, and the prophet would say what he saw, and he would perfectly know that person. Well, then it says, when he does that, when God does that, we will perfectly know him. All right? This is the hour that we get to perfectly know our Father, our God. So we see that Jesus spoke in an enigma in a way that kept the understanding hidden from those who it was not meant for them to understand. Now we're also told that the time when the hidden things and the dark things will be exposed or revealed is when the Lord himself shall come as a light and will bring via that light of his presence the revelation of those hidden things and those things that are dark. Now here's the problem. Most people are not comfortable with light. You go into a restaurant, they turn the lights down. Maybe that's because they don't want you to see the food that you're eating. I don't know. But they turn the lights down, so it's very dark in there, so you can't see who's at the table next to you. And if they're serving alcohol, you don't see who's drinking this and that and how what kind of condition that they're in. That's the creatures of night love the dark. All right? But we're not creatures of the light. We're children of the light. And we're not creatures of the night. We're children of the light. Okay? The Bible tells us sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So ask yourself, are you a son this morning? That's my question for you. If so, what is leading you? Is it your desire for things on this earth? Is it for a new this or a new that? Is it for seeing how much you can accumulate when we should be unpacking and getting rid of anything that gets in the way of reflecting Christ to this age that we're living in? And after all, the whole creation is groaning and waiting for the sons of God to manifest as sons of God. The whole creation is waiting on us, brothers and sisters, and if you are being led by the Spirit of God, you are sons. But what if you're not being led by the Spirit of God? What then? What if you're being led by man or the things of man? Then what? So it behooves us to be led by Him. Now remember, if you walk in the light as He is in the light, He's in the light, you're walking in the light, that puts you in the same place as Him, the same frequency as Him, all right, then all your thoughts are God. You're not thinking about the next car or the next, boat or the next whatever. You're thinking about Him. You can't help. And it says, and it brings you fellowship one with another, because there's others walking in the light. Like Brother Branham said to Brother Hickerson, he said, when I was caught up to that other side, he said, Brother Hick, you were there. Now, we've all read the quote many times where Brother Branham said, what you are here is just a reflection of what you are somewhere else, where your body's going. So it behooves us then to get in that light, to walk in that light. Now, Wednesday night I began to teach you on how we can open up ourselves to what God is doing by way of a spiritual resurrection that is going on right now, that we might be ready for the physical resurrection ministry that's soon coming. And many of you sat home at nights with that more important things to do than get your soul ready to go into a resurrection ministry. And believe me, not all of you are going to make it. I hope you all do. And I'm not just talking to you here, I'm talking overseas, those people watching. And you know, but you know your own condition, and you know in your soul whether you're ready or not. And yet you do what you want to do instead of coming and finding out how to make ready yourself as a prepared people. But just as Brother Branham said, people are going to do what they're going to do. And I'll tell you, by doing what you want to do instead of being led by the Spirit of God, that shows you're not, that you're going to miss it and that you're not ready for what's coming. Now it's time that we get ready for what's coming. Because it's around the corner, brother, sister. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh. Now we've got summits going on in the government that is bringing peace, and North Korea is bringing peace between us, and Russia is bringing peace between us, and it will bring peace between us and Iran. You just watch. And when these things happen, the whole nation is going to be very, very excited, and the bride is going to be excited because she knows this is it. Because when everybody's got their defenses down, boom, that's when it's going to happen. All right. The foolish virgin missed the rapture. She missed it because her oil had gone out, it run dry, which means she once had it, but through lack of use, she lost what she had. How many have ever used an oil burner? Anybody? Like we used to use back in the old days, Steve, remember? We used to use the kerosene heaters. Remember that, Brother Don? Probably, Gary, you probably did too. Some of us older people. Anyway, but you know, through lack of use, you could put oil in a lamp, you could put oil in your kerosene heater or whatever. But through lack of use, just through time, if you didn't use it for 2-3 years, you go there and it's either gummed up or it just is not. There's no oil there. Depends on how much you add in there, but it just dissipates. It's gone. And through lack of use, the Holy Ghost it leaves your life, brother, sister. You know, if you add to that word upon word upon word, like Brother Brown said, spirit upon spirit upon spirit. So you're adding drop by drop by drop. That's how it goes too. Well, today I'm going to do this instead of put my time with the Lord. You know, I really believe that give the Lord 10% of your, which is your tithes and offerings. You give the Lord your 10%, that way you should give Him 10% of your time every day. 2.4 hours a day. I'm not a legalist that way, but I do think that should be the best that we can do. Give them ourselves. Give them 10% of our life. Period. All right? Now, question and answer, conduct, order, and doctrine, Brother Master. Now, this is a striking thing. Please don't take it as doctrine, but do you understand what the Scripture said would take place when that did? Time was over. For look, there was 10 virgins went out to meet the bridegroom, and half of them had oil in their lamp. Half of them didn't. That's the part of the body that's dead and the part of the body that's alive. The five wives, when they come, behold the bridegroom. What does the word behold mean? See, what does behold?
Here it is.
Here it is, okay? Look, see, look, here it is. All right? Behold the bridegroom. In other words, he's got to be there to say those words, right? All right? Behold the bridegroom, and half of them had, and they all trimmed. See, they awoke, and they trimmed their lamps to go into the wedding supper. But when the foolish said, give us some of your oil, our lamps is gone out. Now, it can't go out if there wasn't any in there to begin with. See, that's a misnomer. People think, well, you know, I can have the Holy Ghost and never lose it. No, I'm sorry. He can take flight, and you don't have it. Why does it say in the Old Testament, you know, if a man that is righteous does unrighteous things and he dies in his unrighteousness, he dies. Alright? Doesn't mean that you'll be lost forever. But you know, the things that you sow, you're going to reap. And if you like Brother Branham said, if you're a son of God and you don't take the chastisement of the Lord, He's going to take you home. He's going to try and test you, but then He'll take you home. So it behooves us to, you know, when you get that slapped around by God, it behooves you to just stop and say, Lord, show me. Reveal to me. And don't be so dull in your soul that you can't hear God here. He talks just as loud as your voice can get if you want. I remember when I went to pray for that man he had two discs in his back that were going to take it out. He was completely paralyzed. And I went in to pray for him, and I explained all about, you know, prayer and everything else. And I said, well, let's take about 3 minutes and just examine your soul, make sure that there's nothing that would hinder our prayer. And so we had about 3 minutes of silence, and I prayed for him. And I just as soon as I prayed for him, I just felt like I had watched something really filthy, dirty, like one of these dirty magazines. So I just felt so terrible, so evil. And so I excused myself from the room. It was a hospital. I went down. I tried to find a room that was empty. I couldn't find anything. So I found a bathroom. I went in, shut the door, locked the door, and I got on my face in that bathroom before God. And I said, God, what is going on? I just don't understand. And he said, you asked him to confess his faults. You didn't confess yours. I said, Lord, what is it? I thought I'd been living righteously before. You said, you had an attitude toward a person. I said, okay, Lord, show me who it is. I'll take care of it. He did. I just stayed there. And that voice spoke and said, now go back and pray for him again. And I didn't move. I didn't know what to do. I mean, what am I going to do? I mean, go back. And how do I explain to him? And I didn't move. And that inner voice came back and said, go back and pray for him again. And I still didn't move because I didn't know how to handle the situation. I was only, 24, 25 years old. And the Holy Ghost came back and just shook me to the core. It said, go back and pray for him again. So I said, Lord, what do I do? He said, tell him the truth. Oh, that's the easiest way. So I went back. I just told him, I said, look, I asked you to pray. I didn't pray myself. I said, I told him what had happened. In the bathroom, the Lord, and I said, brother, can I pray for you again? Now, this man wasn't a believer. His daughter was in the church. She was a believer. And we were traveling with about 4 or 5 young people back from some meetings in Rapid City. And so, this was in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And so, we had stopped by the hospital to pray for the sister's husband, her father. So, we prayed for him. The next day, they checked him out of the hospital. They were supposed to have surgery the next day to take out 2 discs. He was completely healed. They couldn't understand. They compared the x-rays from Friday night to the x-rays that morning that they, you know, they wanted to check his x-ray before they actually opened him up. And they said, wait a minute, there's nothing wrong here. When they drove him home, he had one of these long farm driveways. He said, do you want to take you up to the door? He said, no. He said, just let me walk home. So he walked all the way up. Now, brother, sister, what is it? Listen to that inner voice. It starts out very, very quiet, like Elijah. Remember, there was hurricanes and tornadoes. I mean, there's earthquakes, and there's all this thunder and lightning and everything else. He said, that's not the way God does it. But that still voice told him what to do. Listen for that still voice. It's in here. God will come, and he will talk to you out through your soul. And it's your soul that catches what's on those tapes. That's that crystal that picks up the medium that goes through, like in TV has a little crystal, and it picks up the medium that goes through the fourth dimension, Brother Brown said, and you can watch in that. It projects it to that screen, and you can actually watch an entire program. And as Brother Bell explained in 1990 in Toronto, he said there was some people in England that had watched this program on, and so they really enjoyed it, so they called their television broadcaster, and they said, hey, you know, that program you played the other night, are you going to play any more of it? And they said, what program? They explained the name of the program. He said, no, we didn't play that the other night. We played something else. And they said, no, we watched it for a half hour. It was really good. They said, I'm sorry, but we didn't play that. So they began to research, and they found that 20 years earlier in Texas was the last time it was broadcast. And those waves have been circling the earth for 20 years. And somehow the frequency was just right, the air was just right, the conditions were just right. And they picked up that program and watched it, something that had been played 20 years earlier. And as Brother Branham said, science has proven this through television, that you make a move, and that move is recorded. And everything that you've done and said will be recorded at the white throne. So the best thing you can do, my brother, sister, is just to quote the prophet, quote the scriptures. Speak the word of God. And when that's recorded back at the white throne, hallelujah, nothing to worry about. Okay. Now, the foolish missed the rapture. She missed it because her oil was gone out. And as Brother Brad said, now this is a striking thing. Please don't take this as doctrine, but to you that understand the scriptures, said what would take place, time was over. For look, there was 10 virgins went out to meet the bridegroom, and half of them had oil in their lamp, half of them didn't. That's the part of the body that's dead and part that's alive. The five wives, when they come, behold the bridegroom, they all trimmed, woke and trimmed their lamps to go into the wedding supper. But when the foolish virgin said, give us some of your oil, our lamp has gone out, see, give us of your oil. They said, not so, we just have enough for ourselves, you go buy it. And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came. Now, where are you going to get oil in this hour? What is oil? It's the Holy Ghost. How do you get the Holy Ghost? By the washing of water, by the Word. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. I think it's interesting that they sell the words of God for this hour instead of giving it away. I guess they got to sell it to fulfill Scripture. Go buy it. So you're talking about a whole bunch of people going to buy to get what you got. What you have. Now, in a sermon, United Times and Sign, he said, now, here's the saints today that the clergy, we don't read it, right? It's just like it was then. They didn't think that it was time. And that's the problem why people are not living for God. Now, you weren't around, many of you weren't around before 1977. Brother Gary, were you in the message before 77? Don, you were there before 77?
76.
Yeah, so, all right. Anyway, those that came in the message, and my wife was raised up in the message, so around 76, 77, there was such a panic going on in the message because people thought, you know, they took something Brother Brown said, they didn't understand what it really meant, and so they thought it was all going to be over by 77. And I mean people, Billy Paul said, after 77, three-quarters of his mail dropped off. Brother Cash told me there was young men he knew that they had gone out in 75, 76. They bought as much as they could. They owed hundreds of thousands of dollars. They bought $40,000 boats and this and that. They thought they would have to pay it off. 77 come and go. They were stuck. A lot of people left the message at that time. There was a real cleaning out. A real cleaning out. And why? Because it wasn't ready. See? The people would be unaware of his coming. Notice, they didn't think that it was the time. And when they did think it was the time, and it wasn't the time, and it turned out not to be the time, see, those people weren't ready. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. They thought that they were living pretty peaceful then. And so they wasn't looking for no Messiah. Like a good friend of mine, Baptist, he said, I hope the Lord doesn't come too soon because I'm sure enjoying life. And Brother Graham said, now, the dog, you know, the vision God gave him of a dog in a stinking, burning rubbish dump, he said, going from that to being a human is like us now going to the other side. I mean, Gary, can you ask Gloria, when you see Gary Young again with hair again? Right? Levon? I'll have it back. When you don't have the weight problems, you don't have the things that happen in our bodies, you know, sometimes you wake up and your arm's all swollen or you just, you know, you didn't sleep right or none of that problems. Hallelujah. They thought that they were living pretty peaceful then, and so they wasn't looking for no Messiah. And Jesus had said that his coming would be like a thief in the night when the people would be unaware of his coming. So listen, the stage has got to be set. Now people are looking for everything to get so bad that we can finally get back to God. It's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. He said he's coming when the people are so unaware, like a thief in the night. But there were some of the virgins that went to meet him. Half of them had oil in their lamp and was ready. The oil signifies they were ready. They were watching for that sign. And that's what I'm speaking to tonight, see? To those who are looking for the sign now, the sign of his coming. What's the sign of his coming? His parousia. His presence. So have the oil in their lamp, show that they were ready and watching, but the others who had no oil were not ready when he came. And look, what oil they had at one time, they had lost it. They had it at one point, but somehow They lost their readiness and they lost their edge, as we might say. And so they did not have their lamps ready to be lit because of a lack of use. Now, if they had been trimming their lamps every day, they would have. And what is a lamp? It's the Word of God. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. That's what David said. Now, if they had been trimming their lamps every day, reading their Bibles every day, they would have known that they were low on oil or had no oil at all. But these virgins didn't even have a clue that they were missing the oil until it was too late. And so Brother Bram says the ones with oil were ready because they had been watching. So this would imply the others with no oil were not ready because they were not watching. Why weren't they watching? Distractions. The same rain that came upon those that built their house upon sand and swept them away, the same rain that came upon those that were built on a rock. The same trials, tribulations, everything else. See? But they were founded on a rock, on revelation. And he told us in the previous quote, their oil had gone out, which tells us that they did have oil at one time. They did have the stimulation of revelation at one time. And so they lost what oil that they had, and I'm sure it didn't happen in just one day, and they lost it. It dried up is what happened. They lost because they were not aware it was going out. They were asleep. You fill the vessel one drop at a time, and as you do your own vessel one word at a time. And Jesus said, "My words are spirit in their life." So, look, it's a trickle, trickle, trickle. It's like you trickle charge on your battery, and your battery stays fresh. In the wintertime, the battery will die on you, or in hot weather, it'll die on you. You put a little trickle charger, just a little trickle, not a big blast, a little trickle, and it keeps it going. A little trickle, brother, sister, every single day. Read the Word of God. Like the Bible says, 1 week, or like the adage says, you know, 1 week without prayer makes 1 week. W-E-A-K. All right. Now, if they'd been trimming their lamp every day, they would have known how low their oil had gotten, or they would have been seriously, "Search me and try me, O God, and see if there be any wickedness in me," as David said. The Bible says if you're any otherwise minded, God will reveal it to you. All right? And he told us in the previous quote, the oil had gone out, which tells us that they did have oil at one time, and so they lost what they had. And I'm sure it didn't just happen one day, it just dried up. See? All right. Now, I don't mean to be so blunt this morning, but I have to be blunt if I'm going to help you to see your own condition. The Laodicean church was blind and completely bankrupt spiritually, but oh, how she had money to burn. But she had become lethargic. She lost her energy for the things of God. Her oil ran out. One time there was a revival in this message. God had sent a prophet, but God just let her set with that revelation. And because she was not open to further light upon the Word, her oil went out and the revival fires in the message died out. They did. Then came Brother Bale teaching the revelation of God's parousia. And who came down with his Godhead, just as Brother Brown taught concerning the appearing of the Lord before the coming of the Lord, and the revival fires burned again in many churches. But then he began to show who came down, and the revival fires got less and less until what oil they had, what anointing they had on this Word, what fire they had in their souls, they had lost. Now, Brother Bill told me, he said, the great revelation for this hour is the presence. He only went into Godhead to show the people who it was that came down, because everybody had gotten on the bandwagon and was preaching, "He's here, he's here, he's here. The Lamb is here," and the Lamb was not here. So he went into Godhead just to show us. He didn't go into Godhead to start a revolution around a theological understanding. But you've got to understand who came down so that you can understand appearing before the coming. Because Brother Branham explained it as appearing. He said the Holy Spirit is here in the form of pillar fire. He's here. And he's getting us ready for the coming. All right? And so people want to chase after little pockets of truth instead of just looking back, standing back and looking at the whole picture. What is God doing today? What's He doing with me? I'm concerned about the whole bride, but I'm more concerned about myself. Am I going to be there? Am I not going to be there? All right? So the oil had run out, and so did the ability to have fire in their lamps, because their vessels ran out of oil, and they lost what spiritual anointing on the word that they once had. You see, they got into fussing over God. It became a theological debate. You know, who could come up with better quotes? And then they started twisting quotes and making two lords when there wasn't two lords. Brother Branham never preached two lords. Moses never preached two lords. Jesus never preached two lords. Paul never preached two lords. In fact, Brother Branham said, if you have more than one Lord, you have more than one faith. And so it became a big debate. And Brother Bell never meant it to become a debate. He simply wanted to show us who came down. All right? The main thing, brother and sister, is we're in the presence. In the presence of the Lord is what the Bible says, fullness of joy. And yet they lost their joy for His presence, and they got onto this other thing, on Godhead. Now, out of the Godhead, we come to understand there was a relationship God had with the Son. That's wonderful. And out of that relationship that God had with the Son, we realize God wants the same relationship for us. That's perfect. And that leads us then to realize that there was a word for this hour for a prophet, and there's a word for this hour for the people. He recognized, he stepped into it, he became Malachi 4. We've got to recognize and step into adoption, sons of God, and start acting like and manifesting what we are. Okay? But that's why I hammer so much about concerning the parousia of Christ. We are supposed to lay in His presence. His parousia in order to ripen. And I believe that is how we enter into that dimension or that frequency whereby we are able to hear, then able to recognize, and then able to act upon what that recorded word has been encircling the earth. I don't know if we're going to get through this morning. I actually had to break it in half. I had 40 pages, so you're getting 20 this morning. Whether you like it or not, no, actually, we might get only through about 10. And this may become a mini-series, I don't know. But the fact that we're talking about His presence, and He is the invisible God, that tells us that by recognizing His presence, we are actually being made aware of that dimension where God lives and moves. Now, Brother Branham did not use the term frequency very much, but he did use the word vibration a whole lot. Even explaining the first sign God gave him would be when He held a person by his left hand. He would hold their right hand in his left hand, and there would be a vibration in his hand, and by that, he would know the diseases, just like Moses' first sign was that he put his hand into his coat, and when he took out his hand, it was full of leprosy, and when he put his hand back into his coat, and he brought it back out again, it was healthy again. So we're looking at healing by vibration. The God who healeth all thy diseases, showing the vibration in the hand to discern which disease it would be. But only one time, but he used, instead of the term vibration, he only used the term frequency one time, but he used the term vibration many, many times. Now, I want you to read several quotes concerning this in order to help you understand where we're going with this. All right, from Moses' commission. Brother Branham said, and there's something pulled at my heart all the time, but on that day, it made itself visibly known. It was a man about 6 foot tall, weighing some 200 pounds. When it came down, it would come, a few years before that, come down in the form of a light, hung over where I was at. It come down many times in the form of a star where thousands of people stood and looked at it. It made its visible appearance right in the auditoriums and so forth, and different things have taken place. This time when it come, he was a man. And I was scared. He walked toward me and he said, Do not fear. I am sent from the presence of God. He said, to tell you that your peculiar birth and peculiar life has been to indicate that you're taking a gift of divine healing to the people of the world. And then he said, if you'll get them to believe you and be sincere when you pray, there'll be nothing stand before your prayer. Well, I said, I'm uneducated, sir. You know, didn't Moses say that? Didn't Moses say, oh, I can't speak? And he said, I'll be with you. And said, that you might know till it'll come to pass that you'll take people by the right hand in your left. And said, you'll feel the results. Notice, you'll feel the results. Now, I call it vibration. Brother Brown speaking. I call it vibration upon your hand. You'll become familiar with that, and you'll tell people all of all their diseases and what they've got in their body. And then from the greatest news flash, she says, now, he sees that it's still vibrating on my hand. He's sick, Father. I pray for mercy. I pray that you'll make it to leave him through Christ our Lord. Now, there's a book called Hand on the Helm. I've read you stories from it over the time. And there was a story where in Chicago, they actually took a man who was a faith healer, and they actually wired his hand. All right, or they wired between his hand. They wired between his hand and the patient. They had like a, I don't know what, wiring, and they had some type of a metal foil that they could pick up. And they talked about the amount of voltage that actually left the man's hand when the man prayed for the person. Now, I've had several people just in the last month or two tell me the same thing. They said, "Brother, when you prayed for me," like a brother in Brother Sem over there in Norway, he said, "Brother, when you laid hands on me," he said, "I felt a heat come forth from your hand and come through my whole body." A brother that we've been praying for the past about a year, a brother Bill Caldwell in Oregon, told me the same thing. He said, "Brother, when you prayed for me," Michael was there, he said, "Brother, when you prayed for me, I felt a heat, a warming up in my body." Well, see, that's God, okay? That's not Brian Kasorik. I can't discharge my heat to you, but God can, all right? When I prayed for Brother Howard, who had cancer, his whole lungs, this is back many years ago, Brother Howard Davis, his both lungs, he brought to church, he showed us his x-ray. And the x-ray showed everything. I mean, he just had white pock marks throughout his entire lung on both sides. And we prayed for him. When I prayed for him, he was laying in bed, and he was dying. And when I went to pray for him, I put Brother Brown's prayer cloth that I'd gotten from Billy Paul, and I put it between my hand and him. And as I began to pray, it felt like a prickle electricity. You know, like, have you ever had a static electricity kind of just prickle just constantly? Almost feels like rain in reverse. It just feels like rain. And it just felt, and I said, "Brother Howard, do you feel that?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I don't know what it is, but I said, I believe you're being healed." He went back to the hospital 2 days later. That was, I think that was a Sunday. It was the next day, Monday. He went back to the hospital, had x-rays taken, and he had only three little pots, just three little tiny dots in his lungs. Went back 6 weeks later, had none. God had completely healed the man. So I know that God works that way. Many times when I pray for people overseas especially, I felt that like Brother Brown, I felt like a little vibration in my hand. Now, I'm not saying that I have the same gift that Brother Brown does. I'm not saying that, but it's God. I believe saying God is there. All right? I believe it wasn't just Brother Brown that they'll get that vibration in their hand. I believe any of you that are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, when you lay hands on someone who's sick, you can actually feel it. And Brother Brown's going to tell you here, he could actually feel those people even when they came into his presence. And on the contrary side, on the river side, I can tell you, I know brothers that have stood, that they've walked into that 8-foot radius around Brother Branham, and they said that there was such a presence there. You could feel such a presence there that you can't explain it with words. But it was so sublime, so peaceful, so holy, so everything. And they said just walking in, breaking into that 7 to 8 foot radius around Brother Branham where that angel stood. All right, so we're talking about the vibrations, okay? We're talking about the frequencies, frequency of God. The frequency of life is what we're talking about. All right. Now, from Identify Christ of All Ages, said, "Now, you are a Christian, not because you say, 'Well, praise the Lord.'" You could be a deceiver standing there saying that. See? But if it was, he would know it. See? "But I feel your spirit vibrating. It's true, you're a Christian." He could tell by the vibrations coming forth from that person that they were a Christian. All right. Now, we're looking at things that we haven't looked into, that we, our minds just are not attuned to, all right? From confirmation of the commission, he said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible, just have faith. Now, be real reverent." Excuse me, I was watching the light moves around through the building. I was just watching to see, and now I want to talk to you just a moment. "Looked like a good person to me. We're strangers to one another. The Lord knows your trouble. He knows me, he knows you. We're men and women standing there here, meeting for our first time with the Spirit. You are a Christian. And I can feel the vibration there. It was your spirit, you know, just moving. And I know that you're not a hitchhiker. You're a Christian, see? So that what I mean by hitchhiker is just jump from one place to another, you know. You're born again. You're a real Christian. I can feel your welcoming, see? And the Holy Spirit here welcomes that spirit because it's a different spirit, see? We're brothers and sisters You're not here for yourself. You're standing for somebody else. A friend of yours is suffering with demon oppression. You believe that. Put that handkerchief on them and don't doubt. It'll leave them. God bless you. Have faith in God. Just believe with all of your heart. Now, Brother Brown's talking about vibration. Now, I know a lot of people might look at this and say, he's into witchcraft. No, that's not witchcraft. That's God. It's God. Now, things wasn't so from the beginning. He said, and if we get all the vibrations of unbelief out of us. You ever get real nervous? You ever feel like your body's vibrating when you get real nervous? Listen, some nights I can be laying in bed. My wife's a nervous type person. And Brother Matt said, we all got a punch coming. And we got a bed this spot. You know, 7x7, so I usually sleep on the edge, and she sleeps toward the edge, so yeah, I can reach over, I don't even know that she's there. And I'll feel that vibration. I say, Levon, you awake? Yeah, I can't sleep. It's nervousness. You can feel nervousness. You know, if you've been married to a person long enough, I mean, you know when that person's got nerves, you know, is nervous, and you can feel that nervousness. It doesn't. Listen, how many have ever been standing and maybe talking to somebody and you just feel kind of, I won't say an evil spirit, but you just feel something kind of dark behind you, and you look around and you see it's a person that's a real gossip? Now, you didn't see it with your eye, but you felt it. You see? You felt that dark spirit. It's a vibration. It's the only way we can explain it. It's a vibration. It's a darkness. It's not. How do you sense darkness with a body? It's a vibration. Brother Brown said the Christian has a certain vibration. The evil person has a certain vibration. Now, he says, if we get all the vibrations of unbelief out of us, God's work will still be like it was at the first beginning. That's exactly right. It'll zero every time. It did once, it'll do it again. Don't be dissatisfied with a creed or something. Stay right there until the word zeros. He's talking before that about zeroing in your target, your gun. And then he talks about how the word of God, you know, you got to just zero in with that word of God. So he said, get all the unbelief out. How many ever been in you've been in competition, right? Okay. You shoot better when you're very nervous, or do you shoot better when you're relaxed?
Relaxed.
Exactly. When you're nervous, what happens? Right? All right. This is all we're talking about. I'm just trying to help us to get this understanding, because we're coming close to the resurrection ministry. We're coming close to the time of resurrection when we've got to be sensitive in our soul to the things around us, the atmosphere around us. Is the atmosphere a God atmosphere, or is it not God atmosphere? See? From be not afraid. He said, now, sister, how many in there in this audience solemnly believe and know that something's happening here? If you can see it, I wish I had time for every one of you to come. Is anybody up at the platform never seen it? You all have seen it, I guess. You've seen it. You've seen it, Roy. Come here. Roy's one of the new associates. Now, Brother Roy, look at my hand. Looks just ordinary. Put my hand on it. Looks ordinary. See, I put her hand on it. This hand on. Looks ordinary. Now, put this hand on here and watch what happens. There she goes. See what I mean? See how it swells up and them little things hits me? Now, that is death that's in her, vibrating against life and life holding it back. Now, which is strongest, life or death? Well, life. Which is strongest, light or dark? No matter how little the light is, it'll shine in the darkness. So then the power of God is much stronger than the power of death. Like the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Because he's life. Which was first, life or death? Life. What is death? It life perverted. What is unrighteousness? What is sin? Righteousness perverted. Now, as I pointed out Wednesday night, Brother Bram said the word of God is recorded. And it has been circling the earth. And when a believing soul hears it, recognizes it, and then acts upon that word that has been circling, that word acted upon becomes manifested in the person who hears it, recognizes it, and acts upon it. Just like Isaiah had said God's word, and John tapped into that other dimension. He saw that Spirit of God as a dove come down and indwell his firstborn son. He saw that no one else He saw what no one else saw because John was ordained to see that light. John was ordained to tap into that frequency of God, and so he was. He heard the voice, and he recognized it, and the voice of God, and then he acted upon what he saw. Now, in John 1 and 19, we read, "And this is the record of God when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked, 'What then, art thou Elias?'" You know, Elijah. "And he said, 'I am not.' 'Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then said they unto him, 'Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?' And John says, he said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah.'" So John heard that voice of Isaiah that had cried out, Isaiah 43, "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight in the desert a highway for our God." John, at the age, I think it was 7 or 9 years old, if he would have remained with his parents, he would have become a priest. He would have been into that organized religion. And John couldn't take it. Something in his spirit. He fled, went to the wilderness. He lived on locusts and honey. We know, the Bible tells us. He was just something, wouldn't let him get involved with all that stuff. But John saw his own life as a reflection. And when he read the Word of God, he said, "That's me." And when I read the scripture that says we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, my soul says, "That's me." When the scripture says we are to be manifest as sons of God, my soul says, "That's me. That's my promise. That's your promise." That word has been circling the earth for 2,000 years, brother, sister. And the Holy Spirit in you is that thing that it took to tap into that and to hear that and to recognize that. And then, as Brother Brown said, Moses had to step into the water for the water to part. You've got to step into that in order for that word to become manifest in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. So that voice, after Isaiah had cried out, had been circling and circling the earth, and one day John heard it, and John recognized it, and then John stepped into it, and John became exactly the image of what that word had declared for him to become. So Brother Branham explains to us concerning the frequency of God, which he explains using the word vibration in his hand. He says, "My angel shall go before thee," sermon preached in 1953. He said, then Edison, hour after hour, something in his heart. They never had no electricity before, but to light a light. But Edison believed that it would do it. And finally he conquered it because something in his heart said, it'll do it. And as long as there's something in here saying that it'll do it, there's got to be something out there to respond to that. What about John 14:12? There's got to be something out there to respond. That's right. What would your great-grandfather have said when he talked to the neighbor about television? A wave vibrating through the air like that. Would he even make a picture? Why? They'd have said he's mentally upset. But somebody believed that there was an air wave. And he couldn't explain it, but God had it there. Now, how did he think of being an airwave? We've got it. We've got television, haven't we? Sure, we have. Radio and so forth. How was it? Because something down in the human heart said, it's there. And it broke into the realm and picked it up and brought it out here and it gave it to the world. Hallelujah. So when I picked up my Bible and I read Ephesians 1, 3, 4, I was in before the foundation of the world and I was predestinated to the adoption of sons. Something in my heart says, that's me. When I read in Romans 8, it says, I'm to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Something in my heart says, that's me. When I read in the scripture, it says that it's the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. It'll quicken your mortal body. That's this body that's living. Something in me says, that's me. And I read these scriptures about the promises of God for us in this hour that have to take place before the coming of the Lord. And I said, that's me. I'm part of that. And I want as many to come with me as I get that, I've tapped into that. I'm projecting that, like the television. You know, you put the screen up there, projecting. You can all see it. I'm projecting. Brother Branham was a projector. He projected that life, brother, sister. It's not just so that we can see, oh, there. Hey, wonderful. God did it for one person. No. A first fruit, look. Anybody's done any farming, I've got about 5-6 years under my belt now to know. Before the harvest, you have to send in a little crop. It was called first fruit. You go through your field, you pull out a few different place samples, and you send it in, and it is tested for what? Huh?
Moisture.
Why moisture?
Why?
Okay. What it is. That moisture represents whether it is fully ready for harvest or not. If it's got too much moisture, it's green, immature, not ready for harvest. And what will happen if you pluck it up and you put it all in the grain together, a bunch of immature Christians, it'll just be a rat race. This one picking up that one. He's waiting, waiting, waiting. Now, the rule of thumb is this. If it's at least 85%, then they will wait at least a week, maybe 2 weeks. They want to be above 85, maybe 90, 95% dry. Because then they can put it in and there's no mold, there's no mildew, there's no rotting. Because water is what causes all the rot. Okay? And God is waiting. We are supposed to be laying in the presence of the Son to ripen. Getting all the greenness out of us, as Brother Branham said. Hallelujah. We're in a time, brother, sister, of just waiting. People get antsy. They want it to happen today. Listen, a harvest, once the first fruit is taken, if that first fruit is mature, then a week, maybe 2 weeks later, maybe 40 years later, 50 years later, because a prophet was a fully mature Christian. He was the first fruit for this hour. Which means the rest of us, as Brother Branham said to Brother Hickenson, he said, right now, he said, you are here and I'm here, but one day you're going to be here. We've got to come to that place, brothers and sisters, that we not only know, but we live what we know. That we're totally surrendered to what we know. If I am a son of God, then it's my role in the family to live like a son of God. Which means controlling the lips, controlling the attitudes. And if I walk in the light as He's in the light, I'm having fellowship with Him. Well, let me finish this page and then we'll close. I don't even know where we're at. We're at page 8. We've got 20 here and we've got another 20 in the room. From things that are to be. Brother Brown said, Dear God, as I know that this is page on the book, the great record, we are blundered into science, Lord, enough to wake us up for reality to know that every move that we make goes around and around the world the same time that we make it. We've got that through television. We do realize, Father, that television doesn't manufacture a picture. It only channels what? The vibrations into a tube that makes the picture. Even the color of clothes that we've got on shows through the ether waves of the air that vibration around the world. Then how is our sisters with them clothes on acting like that and not even hungering, painted faces, cut hair, ministers that would go to theology, some seminary, and take the things of man's word, which makes by their tradition, makes the commandments of God of no effect upon the people, but by their tradition, saying that they should belong to church and that's all. Oh God, do they realize that every word we say is scientifically proven now, it's on record. And it starts when we start living in this earth, and it ends when we die. And it's put in God's volume, or God's album, to be played back again at the judgment. How are we going to escape it, the damnation of God, if the things have been made so clear before us, and yet we turn it down? Oh, dear God, these words never die. They go on and on. The record will be played at the day of the judgment. You've seen those hands that went up, Father. It'll be right there at the day of judgment. Also, what their heart was thinking will be there at the day of judgment. I'm just going to close here. Let's just close here. Let's call it in prayer. Gracious Father, we just presented so much, Lord, that to think about. To understand, Lord, that everything that we do is a recording. Everything, even in the darkness of the dark, is still being recorded. Man has proven that with his science. He can watch things in the dark through red LEDs and things. It just makes everything look like it's daylight. We've got cameras that are even cheap, like $40 more than you can buy. And you can see the animals in the darkest of the forest, and you can see them like it's daylight. And it's their presence. It's their coming before that camera, and somehow their vibrations or their walking, Lord, it triggers the camera to take their picture, and it's just as bright as if it were during the daytime. They even have scanners, oh God, that they can pierce through layers of clothing and things, Lord, and see if there's any weapons that people are carrying into the airports. They even have satellites, Lord, that can scan 30 feet into the ground and see if there's any tunnels down below and people walking in them through heat signature and things. What is that, Father? It's all vibrations. And so if science proves scientifically that these things are possible, then oh God, what about your presence? And laying in the presence of the Son, the vibrations of the Son of God. Or as we listen to the voice of God in those tapes, and that vibration comes forth from that voice, and we're laying in that presence of your voice, because it wasn't a man's voice. He said, it wasn't me that came down. I was just standing there when he appeared. It's not what I know. It's just what I surrender myself. He said, I just happen to be a voice that he's using. Then what about us, oh God? If we want to be transformed into your image, help us, oh God, to be content with laying in your presence day and night, day and night, day and night, as that recorded voice is circling the earth. May it touch every fiber of our body and bring our whole body completely, body, soul, and spirit, into a transforming power. Knowing, as, oh God, we didn't even get into that today, but about the spiritual resurrection before the physical resurrection. You said in your scripture, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. And we see, Father, as Paul said, that our transformation comes by the renewing of the mind. A spiritual resurrection before a physical resurrection. But it all comes from the frequency of your word. And that frequency is life. Help us, oh God, to understand these things as we commit our living and our life to thee. In Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. You know, we're just starting, I'll just flash through a little bit, we're just starting to get into some charts and things I was going to show you on the frequencies and on the frequencies of light, the frequencies of color, even the rainbow, the frequencies of the rainbow, the frequency charts, as this one up here is a frequency chart this is Hulda Clark's frequency chart, just showing all the bacteria stuff. You go back, how many got that book, The Cure for All Diseases? A few of you. Go in the back of the index, there's a chart that actually shows you the frequency of every disease. Every living organism has frequencies. And so we're just tapping into something here that I don't know where it's going. I just know that I believe it's part of that resurrection, because Brother Branham said the rapture will take place. He said it'll be such a common thing, it'll take place. He said it'll pass right through you if you're not aware. If you're not aware. So I want to be aware. I want to be sensitive to His Spirit. That's what I want. All right. Well, let's just close and let's just sing To Be Like Jesus.
To be like Jesus.